So we're going to talk about, what are we going to talk about, Miss Vicki, today? Can you tell me? Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. I said that first. No, whatever. God gives only good things, amen. Only good things. Because we have to sometimes you just got to shake yourself and remind yourself of the goodness of God, because the devil's always lying on people. He lies on us to God and lies on God to us, you know, and so we have to make sure we keep our thoughts, our minds renewed in the Word of God. Your mind should be more sensitive to God's Word than it is to anything else, because that's the thing that's going to help you. Yeah, cast down everything that's not His Word. Cast down all of those imaginations and thoughts and arguments that your head will get into. You know, should I do this? Well, if I do this, that'll happen. If I don't do this, this will happen. And so we have to walk away from that mental argument that we get in. So, because you'll never win. That one you will not win. But he said, just leave it alone and walk away from it. And then pick up God's Word. Amen. Always pick up the Word of God, because that's where you settle in on. That's where you land your feet. That's where you stake your claim. That's the hill you die on. Amen. Is the Word of God. And so anything that's derived from His Word is going to be something that's going to pay off for you big time. So we're very thankful that God has given us a nice roadmap to where we're going to go, how to get there successfully, how to get there without fail, how to get there nothing missing, nothing broken, how to get there on time. And so God's real good about those things. And so he's going to do what he's going to do for us. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Howard, why don't you come up? Where's Tone? Is he here? Thank you, Lord. Your sidekick. Maybe I'll just have you sit in the seat. Just come on up and sit. It's okay, no. Yeah. We don't want to indict anybody, so. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, the Lord wants you to know he's got, he said, we can make plans, but God orders our steps. And he's saying he's got a surprise for you. The plan that you have made for your needs and for your supply is not what you think. And God's saying, I'm going to shortcut some things. I'm going to make some things accelerate. I'm going to cut down on some things, and I'm going to give you something good that's waiting for you at the end of your plan. So he said, it's good to plan. It's good to know what to expect and to make your plot, make your plan for what you want to see happen. He said, but I will order your steps in such a way that your plan will be shortened. Your plan will be accelerated. Some of the things that you thought were necessary will be taken out of the way, and a shortcut is going to come to you that will accelerate what it is that you're expecting God to do, says the Lord. Amen. Is that good? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God is good. Amen. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Praise God. Praise God. So Psalm 84, if you'll go there, we're going to talk about Psalm 84:11. Psalm 84. Praise God. Start in verse 8. It says here, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Amen. So whenever we're anticipating or whether we engage God, whenever we engage God in conversation, in prayer, in a need that we have, or want to just cry out to Him, pour out our hearts, it's a pause. Amen. There's a pause there for a good reason, is that you don't want to rush things with God. You want to give God your time. You want to have time with Him. And whenever you cry out to God, you want to spend some time there, anticipating, though, that God will respond to you. And so that Selah really means to just to pause, dwell on it, think about the fact that you called on the God of the universe, Lord God Almighty. He's the one that's going to give you your response, all of that. And it says, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand, or a thousand anywhere else. Amen. One day with God in His presence is better than a thousand. So you can have the experience of spending a thousand days with God just in one day. You can walk away with such an impression, such a change, you'll feel like you spent all day long there, a thousand, you know, as long as you want. There's something about the presence of God that puts us in another room, another place, another state of relaxation, a state of prolonged joy. It's like it's going to last forever once you're in His presence. I know we would sometimes you would get a re-entry shock when we would have the conferences and we'd spend 3 and 4 days at a time just in the presence of God, you know, and not ever coming out. You know, I know a lot of times people just do it automatically, but I always had a rule in my room. You won't put on the TV. We don't want to know what's going on with anybody nowhere. You know, we stay in this, you know, until our time here is up, because why did you do all that preparing and getting away from your new normal routine to be with God if you're going to come out of a meeting and sit there and look at a stupid vision all night long? You know what I'm saying? And don't say you're watching Christian television, because you ain't. I don't know no Christians on CNN, MSNBC, Fox, or none of them people. So, you know, we try to act like, of course, somebody did break away that year that Katrina hit. We didn't even know they were expecting anything, but God had, yeah, Marcia did. Marcia did a little political thing she used to do. She had to keep up with her news, but she was who told us that we had been praying every night. That was the one conference we prayed every night after we got finished. I said, God, that had to have been the Lord. You know, it's amazing some of these things you can do, and you even, you know, your soul look back and wonder, you know, how did I do that? But that was the year of Katrina, and God had told us to pray every single night after the meeting was over. And I'm, you know, I was like, okay, God, I'll tell everybody, hey, I'm in shock, but I ain't gonna let on. But anyway, we did that. And for good reason. Amen. God needed people to be on the watch so that He could send help for the people who were able to get help. So you don't need to know everything that's going on. Sometimes if we know too much, we won't be obedient to God. You know, it's human to want to judge, argue, and have your little input in. And, well, I ain't heard nothing about nothing. You know, we can't be, you know, just go pray. You know, just go be obedient. We don't need to hear what you think about anything. But when we heard that and we heard how bad it was, we were kind of like in shock. Man, I didn't know all this was going to go on. But I remember the mayor of New Orleans, was it Nagy? Nagin was his name. Yeah, he's in jail now, but, you know, that's another story. But anyway, he was pleading with people. He said, please pray for us. He said, nobody's going to help us now but God. And so we were real thankful we had been obedient, you know, instead of going getting your midnight snack and crashing in your bed. You know, the hair over here, the shoes over there, something else there, don't eat your hair, eat your food, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, but, you know, it was good. It made us feel that, well, God, we did listen to you, and we did it by faith, and we did it knowing that you had told us what to do. And so it was a major blessing for us to be able to participate like that. And, how did I get on Katrina anyway? I got off of whoever I was on, but anyway. But, about, you know, feeling like you 1,000 a day in God's courts, like 1,000. And so when you're in the realm of the spirit, you just do spiritual things. And God will give you the grace to stay in that place for as long as he needs you to be there. So don't ever think like you're making yourself pray or you're making yourself do something for God. There is a grace that comes to you. That and we know that grace is the divine enablement of God. It enables you to do divine things. And if you just learn how to relax and yield to God and cooperate with it, you'll get great benefits out of. The hardest thing sometimes for us to do is pull ourselves away from the natural. That's what's hard. Getting over there, after you get over in the realm of the spirit, it's easy. It's smooth sailing. But we don't want to turn loose of what we're doing. We don't want to, you know, because we know once we give over to God, it's all over until he's done, you know. And so sometimes we just hold on to what we hold on to until we can see ourselves clear to just go ahead and yield to it. So, but anyway, it's good to yield to the things of God because it pays off real big. It's worth it. Amen. For a day in his courts is better than 1,000. Amen. Amen. It's just, you know, time accelerates. He's able to give us time. He's able to help us with the things that we need. And he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Amen. So prosperity, God's way, is always the best thing. You rather be, even if prosperity to you is just having success in everything and peace of mind at the end of the day, you know, that itself is worth everything. And so it doesn't matter where you're at in God's house. Amen. As long as you're in there. And that is so true. Because if you look at, how things are done in God's kingdom. Everybody's important. Everybody's loved. Everybody's, you know, God doesn't look at, he just looks at the fact that you're blessing him by wanting to work for him. And you're blessing him by holding him in high esteem. You're blessing him by wanting to set your hand to anything that you can set your hand to in God's house. Amen. And so he looks at our hearts more than anything. And as long as you have the heart of God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. It's nothing's too high or too low for me. I'll do whatever you tell me to do as long as I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. And so the writer, the psalmist is saying here, I'd rather be like just somebody like an usher, a doorman or anointing, a lot of skill to do some jobs in God's house, but at least you're doing something. Amen. It's like a lot of people look at, you know, with disdain on certain things. You know, the devil is going to bug you about whatever you do. If it's something that God is going to bless and honor, he's going to bug you about it. So you got to get used to him putting his 2 cents in or rebuking him or however you want to handle it. But you have to set your face like a flint and go ahead and do what God tells you to do. You just have to do those things. And so he says here, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. What does that mean? That means he's God. If you need sunshine, he provides it. If you need shelter from the sunshine, he provides that too. He's God in good weather and bad weather. He's God no matter, and you need him wherever you are. You know, if you're out in the sunshine, you can get too much of that. Amen. And if you're out on a cloudy day, you get rained on. You need a shield around you at all times. You need his protection, his oversight, him looking at you. So he is so concerned about us that he is our protection against something as simple as the elements. Amen. something we just take for granted. You know, sunshine is sunshine, rain is rain. But God will protect you in all kinds of atmospheres. He is there for you. He's there to make sure your life is not disturbed by anything. Things we take for granted. The sun comes up every day. But he looks at it and looks at you and he says, I don't want my child to be made uncomfortable. I'm gonna get that girl some AC. Where's she at? Amen. Whatever it is, he takes care of those things. Things we think are not necessary or frivolous or a waste of money, a waste of time. Sometimes God tells us to do it. He'll say, I just want you to have a good time and I'm providing it. Amen. I just want you to enjoy yourself today and don't worry about what it costs. I want you to have good things and not be concerned about. He just wants that. And it says he is our sun and our shield. He gives grace and glory. So he is your enabler to do all things. That's where the grace comes in. And glory. He will cause you to feel good about yourself, to feel good about life, to feel good about your household, your family, the things that you want to have that feeling inside of you that, boy, this is really, I'm really having a good time today. I'm really content today. Everything's peaceful. My surroundings are peaceful. He gives you that. He wants you to have that. That's like the cherry on top of the whipped cream, the icing on the cake, the, you know, whatever it is that floats your little boat. He wants you to have that. He wants us to be content in all things. And it says then at the end of all that, no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. Walking uprightly just means walking with God, leaning on him, allowing him. You don't have to work hard to be good. You really don't, because you got good inside of you. You got him that is good living out. Just let him live. Let him come out. Let him trust him. Yield to him. Trust him enough to just get up and say, God, you know, what am I going to do today? What do you want me to do today? What's on our little agenda for today? What you got up? Amen? What you got going on? So, you know, in he will make it good. It may start out a little rocky sometimes, but he will make it good. It will turn out good. I'm telling you, he fixes stuff along the way. Yeah, but Psalm 23 says that if you are following God, you have no needs, no lack in your life. But you got to follow him for that to be true. See, he'll lead you where there's abundance of everything, from the inner man to your outer, what you see on the outside. He wants you to have nothing but good surrounding you. Amen. At all times. So if you follow him, you don't lack anything good. There's no lack in your life. When he's your shepherd and he's your guide, everything is all good. You know, don't be so critical all the time. You know, people always live in this land of not enough. When is mine coming? And that's just, you know, Jesus said he didn't live like that. That's how sinners live. They live in the land of lack. We live in the land of plenty. Number one, you need to believe it. And you need to start looking for plenty. Don't look for lack, look for plenty. And don't be afraid of lack. Amen. Cause it'll come creeping at your door. Cause the devil is just waiting for us to let go of God's hand so he can throw some nonsense up to us. So he says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. See, giving the good things is his business. Walking upright is yours. So if we do our business, then he takes care of his. We don't have to worry about what God's got cooking for us and what's coming down the pike and what's going to be around the corner. He prepares us. Amen. He sets us up for expectation of good. He does. And he knows what's coming. He knows the tests that are coming. He knows the trials that are coming. If you didn't know there was goodness at the end of that trial, you wouldn't hang on to God. You'd find your own way. Say, I don't need this. I'll go do something else. Amen. And so this is what keeps us going, is this thing here, the expectation of good. And he takes care of every single need, that he'll take care of needs you have and you don't even know you have them. Amen. Sometimes we ain't smart enough to figure out everything, but we know it's taken care of. Amen. We just know it's taken care of. So God is good like that, and his mercy endures forever and ever and ever. When I had to move out of my big house a year and a half, almost two, well, it'll be 2 years ago. Is it that long ago? Oh my, 2 years, 2 years. And I had a guy that was doing some work around my house. You know, you ever see one of them handy people who's just nothing throws them? They could get up on the roof and go up on the roof and do stuff. And then they in the basement doing stuff and over in the barn doing stuff. And so he had told me, he said, well, he said, I don't know if you got any estimates on your move yet. He said, but I would like to ask you if you would consider me to do that. He said, a friend of mine and I, you know, we'll get the truck and we'll do this. And it sounded pretty good to me. Well, 2 days before I was supposed to move, he broke his leg. Yeah, you're right. See, these are the things see, if you're over in Wonderland. How did I make that mistake? I thought I prayed it. You know, you can spend 2 years trying to figure out how you got on the road you're on. All I know is God help me. See, this is what you got. Religion will make you want to go backtrack and figure everything. I don't care about that. I can't do nothing about nothing that happened yesterday 5 minutes ago. Can't change it. Amen. You know, we take on too much. You know, we really do. If you were perfect, you wouldn't need to be saved. You wouldn't need him. And I wasn't caring about putting the blame on nobody or wondering about nothing. You got a problem, Houston. I got God. I don't have no problems. I got God. You got me? I ain't sick. I got stripes. You got me? So what I did was I just told the Lord, I said, well, Lord, you knew this was coming before he got here. And so you got to find me somebody, you know, and somebody showed up. I called somebody and asked for prayer and bam, there was a driver. You got me? Called somebody and told them what was up. Oh, I'm glad you called me because I was thinking you should get me to do that for you. I said, oh, boy. Amen. I won't tell you who that person was, but to think they were praying scared me. So I had to say, okay, all right. So sometimes you get backed up into God's yes. You get backed into God's yes. Now we all know, I know we walk by faith, not by sight. All that's true. That's good. But you know, and I know, that you, when something goes wrong, that alarm goes off in you, you'll drop faith in a minute and go to screaming and hollering. So don't tell me about you walk by faith. Do the best you can, but come on now. Am I right, Poppy? I don't want to point the finger. I ain't throwing no shade at nobody, but we just all human beings in here. I mean, you know, we're collectively the body of Christ, you know, to a degree, but you know, we all got flesh to deal with. We got all kind of stuff to deal with. But see, that turned out to be a good thing because it enabled me to call some people in that did some extra things that I needed done. See, that the guys that I had before, I'm not sure if they would have been able to handle that. And apparently they weren't. Now, God didn't break that man's leg. Tabitha, come on off of that little stuff, tweaking your nose and. Quit tweaking your nose in here. Ain't about all of that. So, but anything. But God knows that the end at the beginning, and he makes provision for all the things in the middle. He makes provision for all the middle stuff. So that was his provision. And I believe that was his best. You got me? Because that's consistent with his word. Amen. No good thing will he withhold from us. And so that was a good thing that was done irrespective of my plans. You know, you can make all the plans you want to, but God then orders your steps. Amen. He makes sure, but he makes sure that you get there. That was the thing. He makes sure that you get there. And so God blessed me in so many ways, out of that move and so many things that he did. And it wasn't what I thought I wanted. See, but he was able to give me his best. He listened to me. You know, he said, okay, I'm going to pray. You ask me, you do it. But I know what you need. Amen. I know what you need. And so God, he will do that. Those are good things. He doesn't withhold good things from us. And so in keeping with that, we need to examine then what happens when we get into that place where the good thing that we're believing for is either slow in coming or not here yet, or we get down that street that's called, I'm not sure. Got me? You can get there. We all do. Because what takes you there is your mind. Your mind will wander and you'll wonder really what's going on. And it generally will happen when the things don't go as we planned or as we like or, you know, according to program. We're not really sure if we need to back up and find out what we did wrong. How do we examine this? Because sometimes the unexpected does come into our lives. And so the only thing I can tell you is to go back to your original request. What we do sometimes, we change something in the plan where you don't need to change anything. All you need to do is hold on to God and know that he's coming. Amen. This is our rescue plan. This is our, kind of like this is our ace that we've been holding on to, waiting for the best time to play it, for lack of a better analogy. But so when things don't go as we have planned or would like, then the enemy would tempt us with thoughts, and the gates of hell really are plotting and planning to bring failure to us at every turn. So you need to understand that the enemy has a failure plan just like God has a success plan for you. And if he can get you on the road to doubting God and looking for things that you can do to rescue yourself or to rescue your answer or to rescue something, like you could really rescue something, amen, then this is where he gets an opportunity to pull you off course. And then what happens at the end is something that is a mini disaster, or it's not what you thought, or, you know, he loves to get us in panic mode. So the best thing you can do is just stand still and not do anything. Amen. Let's say it again. The best thing you can do when things aren't going as well as planned or like you thought it was going to be, stand still and not do anything. Because God will come for you if he knows where to find you. But if you're running here, there, and everywhere looking for your answer, let me ask you this. How come you didn't do that before you asked God to get involved? If you had all the answers, why are you getting God involved anyway? So you must have thought he could help you at some point. So just go back to what you originally got. I've talked to you, and I'm pretty sure you told me this is what I was supposed to do. Now, if I'm wrong, help me. But anyway, help me, help me, help me. I need your help. I need your whatever. So it only takes a short time of meditating on thoughts of failure. I missed it. Where did I miss it? Where did I get off wrong? What's going on here? It only takes a little time of doing that to pull you so far off course that it's going to be hard for you to find your way back. And so many times we miss getting back on the road because we're trying to find our own way. Sometimes you just need to stop and wait for, you know, the popos to show up or to, you know, a tow truck or, I mean, you know, whatever it is, you just stop and stop that. Get off, you know, just get off and don't do anything. you know, I was just talking to her. Rebecca told me one more. She stays with me. She's back in school again, and so she gave up her apartment and saved money. You know how students are. So she told me one day, she said, I got to get my brakes fixed on my car. And I said, well, where is it? She said, in the driveway. So I clutched my pearls. How'd it get there? I drove. You drove a car with no brakes? We don't do that. We don't do that around here. You know, we call somebody, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's what you need to do. Even if you think you know how to, now I'm saying not say anything, it really shocked me because that's how I roll. I call somebody who I don't know, but somebody's got to come. We don't do that here. You know, I said, don't you do that anymore. But anyway, well, whatever. But, you know what I'm saying. You just call somebody. It's somebody. I got, how many contacts you got in your cell phone? Hundreds. I'm calling me somebody. I'm going to start with A and go down to Z if I have to, but somebody going to come do something. I ain't doing it. And this is what you got to have, that hands-off approach with the things you committed to the Lord. Because if you trust him, you can do nothing until you hear from him. Amen. Now, when you hear from him, that's when you move. But it's wise to wait until you really hear from God before you take off doing anything. Because you're going to be a long time getting it done yourself. Because number one, you're working against the will of God. Well, I know God told me I can have it. I don't care. The way you're going about it is wrong. Sometimes we just wrong. We want stuff, but we wrong. Our methods ain't right. It's going to be a mess, a hot mess when it comes here. You got me? So you don't want to do God's job. You want to have something that you can lean into. When it gets rough, when it looks like it's not going to happen, when it looks like it's going to fail. And if it fails, sometimes we just got to admit it was not God. You think you hear from him perfectly all the time? Come on now. We all a little, you know, feeling. We're always waiting on a feeling somewhere, you know. We're okay, but we're not sure of his leading many times. And so we have to give ourselves some slack and, you know, let God have it, turn it back over to him, tell him, Lord, doesn't seem like it's working out here. Tell me what to do. Do I just hold still? Do I proceed? Sometimes he'll tell you, don't pay any attention to that. Just keep going. But you need to hear from him. You need to hear from him in these things. If you're saying God's going to do this and he's going to take care of you, then let him do it. Amen. Galatians 6, 9 tells us, 7 and 9 tells us not to get weary in well-doing because in due season we will reap if we don't faint. And many times we're trying to rush the season. Amen. You got to let that stuff stay buried. You got to let your seed stay in the ground and give it time to mature so that it can. Now, God will bless us in some ways. He'll come cause many things to happen before we even expect it. You know, you before you can say, Amos 9:13 says that. That's why we like that scripture. He says before the plowman overtakes the reaper in the King James Version, and it says things will happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the, we won't be able to keep up. And so God will have that working in a part of your life. And then there's another area of your life that might take some time. It's the one thing that we don't like to talk about is how much time it takes. Now, the reason we get impatient sometimes is that we want to go do something else. Well, what you going to do besides serve God? Yeah, you know, we are in a hurry. I want to get this and I want to get, well, I'm tired of worrying about it. Well, quit worrying. See, you give yourself away. What happens is that that desire that you have gets pushed over into the wrong part of your soul, where the devil starts bugging you. Well, look now, how long you been praying for that? How long you been believing God for that? How long you been, how long? That's not your spirit man talking to you. There's no time where your spirit man lives. He don't have no clock. He don't. He don't have no watch. Rolex, whatever. He don't have one. Got me? So he's not, he's content. Your spirit man is so content with your life the way you are. You know, we go out and make bills. Why? Because he feels good when you don't have one. You understand what I'm saying? Why can't you let him live in peace sometimes? How come we can't let spirit man live in peace? Amen? And he'll watch you, and then you go out and made another bill. Now you pushed him way over in the corner, and you and your flesh engage and worried about when you're going to get it and how I'm going to get this paid when they come. Where before, you was all happy. Amen? You know, it's like this. There are some people who are just collectors. You know, they like accumulating stuff. You know, it's like, and you know, people, they'll see people, you know, or you go somewhere in a nice part of town and you see all the luxury cars parked up in there. And I say to myself, no, these people got notes and you jealous of them. You understand what I'm saying? They ain't got nothing but notes. You can go get one too. But see, you're smarter than that. See? See, no, I'd rather get a note for my child's education than to get just to ride around in something that's going to guzzle up the gas. Huh? And we think we'd be looking good sitting up there. Yeah, wait till they see me in this one. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? All of that. You know, a lot of times we have died to that. To a degree, but it'll shock you how to pop up again. You get in the right circumstances. So your spirit man is content all the time. He's not worried about when God's going to do nothing. That's your flesh bugging you, trying to get involved in your life again. Amen. So you have to, and he will wear you out. That's why Galatians 6 is there. He says, don't get weary in well-doing. Weary means, you know, now people say, well, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. You shouldn't let that come out of your mouth. You talk about tired. You start confessing that the devil will wear you out. Because instead of you expressing faith, you're expressing what your flesh is telling you. And he ain't going to inherit nothing. But he will sit back and laugh at you and watch you miss God every single time. We'll say it again. Your flesh and blood will not inherit the things you're waiting on God to bring you. But he'll interfere with you, desiring it from God and trusting God for it, and then sit up and laugh at you when you miss it. Know how I know that? How many of us have been disappointed with something, and something inside you, I knew that was going to happen. That's your flesh. He set you up, caused you to miss it, and with his false prophecy. And then he confirmed it. I told you. I knew that was going to happen. Don't ever say that about something negative in your life. Even if you did hear your conscience say it or your mind say it one time or another, don't ever confirm the devil's negative experiences in your life. Because, see, there's a part of us that's still alive that wants to be right even when bad things happen. That little false prophet that's inside of everybody. So if it's messed up and you hate it, your consolation prize is, I knew it was going to happen. Come on now, somebody get with me on this. And then you're satisfied because you knew it was, you called the shots. You knew it was going to happen. Well, how'd you know that? And you've been praying for this over here to happen. you've been praying for a blessing to come out of this situation. All of a sudden, you're right. You knew this. Why didn't you rebuke yourself when you started thinking like that? Don't get me. I'm just the messenger. Don't blame me for the message. But we got to clean out our minds, folks. We got to. It's a luxury to sit up and think negative when you're expecting good things to happen. Whatever. I'm going to keep going. In fact, I might pack up my Bible and go to my room and eat my little chicken salad. They got way. They never should have showed me the lunch. Chicken salad on the brain. So how do you get yourself out of this? You know, how you get yourself out of this, you know, we can dig little holes for ourselves. Number one, God has a refuge for you. You don't have to labor with when things come up that are unexpected, look like it's going the opposite direction. Sometimes it will manifest some things that we don't want. What do you do with yourself when these things happen? And really, you have to go back to the fact that God has promised us that if we will continue, persist, pick it up again, you gotta keep going. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Amen. We can convince ourselves. You look at something long enough and you'll convince yourself of the reality of it. Because part of you just doesn't want to turn loose of negative things. That part still lives in most of us. If you get trained on it long enough, you get discouraged long enough, you start looking at something that's not going well long enough, keep glancing over there. Gotta give yourself a break, a Holy Ghost break. And tell yourself, this thing is gonna happen anyway. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyeballs. Not to look at some certain stuff. You need to make a covenant with your eyes, your ears, every part of you that could pick up negative information. You gotta promise yourself to that part of your body it ain't gonna get involved in your business no more. Because especially if you want to see it come to pass. Now in Luke chapter 18, we see a remedy for taking too long. What's going on? Negative things are happening. Looks like it's going the opposite direction. How did this come up all of a sudden? In Luke 18, verse 1, it says, he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to, because you're fainting, is what's happening. See, we think we're thinking something that's normal. But when you've been engaged with God in believing him for, I don't care what it is, your health, your finances, whatever it is that's floating your boat this week that you're engaged in, whenever you're believing God for these things, when you start to get weary, when you start to faint on that, you've got to pick yourself up and continue to engage God in that which you're believing for. Amen. Whether it's through prayer, you go back to God and say, God, I don't feel good about this. What is it about this that's got me, you know, twisted up? And sometimes God will just take you to a scripture that gives you peace again. Well, what happened was you walked away from your peace. You got distracted by something that got something triggered in you that said, that caused doubt to come in you and said it's not going to happen for you. See, there's nothing really going on anywhere to be alarmed about. I'm going to say it again. You know, we give too much credibility to the devil and his nonsense. Too much credibility to our flesh, how we feel, what our eyes see, what we thought about last, how what's going to happen with this, what's going to happen with that. At the end of the day, you've got to go back to God and seal the deal again. I don't care how many times you have to go back and seal the deal. You got to go back and seal the deal again, because you can't leave the door open for the enemy to come in there and cause you doubt about God's provision for you. See, many of us are an inch ahead of our victory. When I say that, I mean we're running too fast to keep pace with God. we let the enemy push us because we always think we can't get it. We can't wait. God won't get it. I got to do this. So we always got to do stuff. Go sit down. You know, the day, the world will still be here if you take a day off from you. Go let you go sit in the corner somewhere and take a break. I mean, seriously, take a day off from you and start letting God handle things. Wait for him to open the door. Wait for him to give you a phone call. Wait for him to drop a name on you that you, before you go taking off charging, taking care of the world. So he says here, there was a city, in a city, a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. So somebody's immovable. You ever have people in your life like that? You love them, you want them to change, they don't change fast? We all got them. I got at least 12 of them I can name you. Baby, man, babra, cuz, big cuz, little cuz, half cuz, don't know if he cuz. You know, you got all them people. How did he get in the family, cuz? You got to claim them anyway. Seriously. And so, you know, it's a good thing sometimes that you're not around them all the time because you don't have to see them cutting up like. But you know in your mind they probably cutting up somewhere, and, you know. So you just pray for them, claim them. God, I thank you. That person's saved. I thank you. They in the number. You're not going to let them miss it, God. That salvation belongs to you, Lord. I can't save them and I can't change them. Amen. And quit peeking over in their business. Yeah, I know. You got to, some of them, you got to, I would get out their business if, amen, them kind of situation. But you know, they will change too. There's a way to do it. And so God said that this person is immovable. You can't manipulate him. You can't influence him. You can't. He's hard, rock solid. And he says there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. So there's somebody that's doing her wrong, and she needs to have justice. But he don't care. You got me? So, it, you know what? Some people think about God like this. Like he's not going to do anything, or you know, if it takes too long, they mad at God because he must not love me, must not care about it. He'd see me, God, you see me down here sweating and can't, oh, you don't care if I sweat? No, go get you some daddy perspirant or whatever. But sweat if you want to, but he's still going to be God. You know, this being God, not God, ain't dependent on your little answer. So this man don't care about nobody. But the thing that got him, see, everybody can get God. God can change anybody. See, religious people don't like statements like that, you know, because they like condemning people. Well, you know, people gotta want to change, you know, here's somebody's, you know, they'll say that. Here's somebody strung out on drugs and people don't even know who they are and you gotta want to change. He don't want nothing but some more drugs. I'm real sorry. Change? Are you kidding me? And sometimes you talk to those people and they want to change. They've been trying to change forever but have no power to do it. That's where you, religious spirit, come in. You supposed to have the power to help people. So you just confess to your own powerlessness. If you resort to that as an excuse for giving up on somebody, because that's really what you're doing. Which really means a lot of people have never really been engaged to begin with. And the minute you've invested one prayer in a person, you want to see that happen. If you really prayed to God, you do. Amen? Because God's going to keep you engaged in it. And so he says he would not for a while. This is the word we don't like. What does while mean? I could see it means time. It means time. It means time, my adversary, time, my enemy. I hate time. I don't want time. Well, Jesus is giving it away here. He says it's going to take time. Something you don't want to give it. And why don't we want to give things time? We have no idea. There's something built into your flesh that wants to fight about time. I want it now. That's going to be too late. I can't wait. Why can't I have it now, God? I need it now. I want it. He gave it to you. Now you go crazy. You run around and tell everybody, you tell all the saints, you're running out shooting your mouth. Guess what God did for me? You're going to turn the church upside down with your one little answer to prayer. Got me? So he's just saving you some nonsense. He wants you to get to the place where you feel like he feels about stuff. He's rejoicing on the inside all the time. God is not moved by, you know, your whatever you desire so bad. He's not moved by it. And he wants us not to be as moved about things, because when they're missing, we're going to be moved in the opposite direction. I'll say it again. See, it's very important that we stay in the mentality of God, with how he evaluates things, how he looks at things. It's the character of Christ he's trying to develop in us. You never saw Jesus walking around being anxious about anything. And he was the most persecuted person. You know, we can't even go to work without feeling, I know my boss don't like me. Well, how you know that? The boss ain't even there today. He absent. Well, he took off because he don't want to be around me. Oh boy, here we go. You understand what I'm saying? So he has to get us to the place where we get that little thing killed. Because that'll mess up everything he tries to do for you. Your boss will try to do a nice gesture towards you, and you turn off hostile toward him. You think they're doing something they ain't supposed to do. See? So God has to get us over in a place that he calls love. It's where your faith works best. See, when you love God, and when you love God, you trust him. No matter what you have to go through in life, you still trust him. Got me? Then you know better things are coming. You know, you don't give up on anything. You just get a different twist on it. Get a different importance to it. Get a different stress to it. You know, take the stress out. The emphasis is different on the things of this world. You know, when Jesus told Pilate his kingdom was not of this world, Pilate just looked at him. He said, where he at? Then Pilate went back and said, where you come from? You understand what I'm saying? He's like, intriguing. That intrigues the devil when you tell him your kingdom is not of this world. Devil, you can't get me upset about nothing going on down here, because this ain't where I live. I'm on loan. Got me? God loaned me to the earth for this season. And that's the truth. That's not arrogant. That's knowing who you are and what you're doing here. In other words, I could go poof at any time, devil. You understand me? Just for what I care. I'm here on God's time. You know, this is true. So this will take the pressure off of you for the answer to prayer at a certain time, for the this and that coming into your life here and there. You can get a promise from God and let it drive you crazy, because it hasn't happened yet. You can get a prophecy and try to work it to death. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just when it don't show up, it's like, I was sitting there one day. I told God, I said, God, I'm seeking you. Look here, God. Look at what I'm doing. I'm cutting up over here, God. You notice me. You better talk to me. You better tell me something. I got to know what you're doing. And he said, if I didn't trust you with this, I never would have promised it to you. You got me? In other words, lay off of me. I know what I'm doing. I'm the one that told you I was going to do it to begin with. You understand me? See, don't let your prophecy make you stupid, like I have been doing. Okay, just chill. He reminds me, chill. You're not going to miss it, Barb. If you want to miss it, I never would have told you I'm going to give it to you. People who miss stuff don't get words from God. You got me? They have to make stuff up, which I'm not going to go there anyway. But she says, it says, he would not for a while. That's where most of us have our trouble. But afterwards, ooh, after what? Hey, wait a minute. I want to get to what's afterwards. After what? After she persisted. After she didn't quit. Sometimes persistence is not so much keeping asking God over and over again. I know faith people go crazy when you talk about scriptures like this. But this persistence is talking about not giving up desiring it, not giving up on God. You've asked God, God is not unjust, but even if that's how you look at him, you understand me? That's what we do when we get involved in time, what's taking so long. You're inching up to God ain't fair. You see? Come on now. Now, if it's taking long, or what you think is long, who told you to keep time? See, that's not our assignment. Amen? We're not assigned as timekeepers on a promise. If that were true, how did Abram and Sarah have a baby in their old age? See, they were keeping time for a season. That's how Ishmael showed up. Ishmael is a result of watching time, trying to get stuff in before you get too old. Then you look up 40 years later, you're still here, you spend everything. Devil did it again. How did he trick me like that? Got me? So we got to stick with God's plan, folks. He knows what he's doing. And he says here, it says he wouldn't for a while, but afterwards, after what? Her continually coming, expecting him to do something. See, your expectation of what it is you're looking for in God is everything. Not your continual going back and say, God, give it to me, David. God, come on, are you going to give this to me? You should already have received it when you prayed. You got me? So in our case, because our God is just, we have received it already. But you can get tricked into thinking you didn't with the passage of time. Because many people walk away from what God has for them. Because they think they can't get it because they don't have it yet. And they start putting God on the clock instead of receiving from God, having peace about what's going on, allowing God to mature them as they go. Amen? These things are very, very important. This is what we're here for. We're here to grow in maturity in God, and many times he does it through the things that we say we desire from him, through promises. That's how we get into being more godly people. That's how we get into being not anxious about anything. This is how we get into God's peace. So while we're quote unquote waiting for the things we desire, or they haven't shown up yet in the natural realm, and he says, because of her continually coming, she's wearing me down. And he says, I'm going to give this to her speedily. I'm going to give it to her in a hurry. Why? Because she's wearing me down. She keep messing with me. I'll give away the candy store to everybody who comes in here. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in this man's case, he wants her out of his hair, and don't let nobody know you got nothing. Because I got a reputation to hold on to here. Got me? And so even people like that can be swayed. the people in your life that you think are so hard and don't want God and all that, you keep going to heaven based on, you know, God, you told me that my family's going to get saved. What about bruh-bruh? What about, can you work on them? Send laborers. You know, they've been hanging out in the world for so long, God. They need a break. They need to know you. They need this. They need that. Talk to God about these things, and that's how they change. Because if we just sit up and say nothing and watch their bad behavior or listen to the negative report about them, pretty soon we do lose faith that they'll ever get saved. You know, we're looking for change in the natural when God's working on the inside on people. You know, you may not see anything in the natural for a while, but that does not mean God did not hear that prayer. He does not want them saved, and they're not that rough and tough person that cannot be saved. Amen? And people who are saved need to learn to enjoy God. You know, there's work to be done on everybody. You know, there's people that are barely hanging on to their salvation. You don't know why. They need to make some adjustments in their life. God, show them how good you are. Show them the difference you can make in their life. Show them how they can trust you and rely on you. God, show them something. Amen? And so this is how things happen. They happen through our persistence that will pay off when we continue to expect good. You must continue to expect that thing to happen. You got to continue. You can't afford to get weary. You can't afford to get slack. You can't afford to get to the place where you let the enemy talk you out of it. The worst thing that you can do when you're believing God for something or you prayed for something is get passive about it. Not care if it happens or not anymore. Not be engaged in at least hope and in believing that God is going to make a change here. He's going to do this. You've got to hold on. It's up to us to hold on to it. Because anybody can win a short race. You know, if you spot me and we going to run to that door, I might be able to beat a couple people in here. I don't know about somebody. You understand what I'm saying? You give enough, anybody can do a sprint. God's looking for long distance people. He's looking for endurance people. He's looking for people who endure to the end. That's how Jesus was crowned and given a name above every name. He endured to the end. He put up with stuff. He put up with people. Unjust people. People that hated him for no reason. He said, for which one of these good works are you accusing me? Amen. He said, in other words, he's done nothing but good since he came on the scene. Yet they want to kill him. Amen. And so these are the things that we need to understand are important to God when it comes to receiving. You're not just asking him to answer a prayer. You're engaged with God in your office as an intercessor, in your office as a Christian. This is a relationship, engagement with him in a relationship that he values and you should value. See, if we get our eyes off stuff and when it's coming, then we can start paying attention to more spiritual things, more of what God really is after. And he's not trying to kill nobody. He's not trying to make you feel bad. But he is attempting to mature us into the place where we can handle more. We can have more peace in our lives. We can have more of the fruit of the Spirit. We can have more endurance in things. You know, sometimes people are so focused on one thing, they don't pray about anything else anymore. They don't even care about anything else because this ain't here yet. And the world's got to stop until I get my stuff. I got to have it. You understand? We're worse than them junkies in the street sometimes. And so we want to get to the place where God wants us to be. So there are some things here that we need to do. One of the things you must do is Hebrews 11:11 talks about Abraham and Sarah and why they got a miracle. This is how you get your answer to prayer, your long-term answer that you think is slow in coming. If it's anybody who could judge God slow, it's them, but they didn't. It says, through faith, Also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. This is what we've got to do. We've got to judge God faithful no matter how long it takes, no matter what road it takes you down. You've got to remind yourself continually that you're dealing with a faithful God. He is the God of all flesh. Nobody's too tough for him to change. Nothing's too hard for him. And you got to look at all of that and see when you start looking at what he wants you to look at, you forget about how long it's taking. You forget about what you're waiting on, what you supposedly are waiting on. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to live in the now of where he is in the realm of the spirit. And so Abraham and Sarah received that child because they judged God faithful. Abraham had to renew his faith. He had faith that he could be a father at one time because Ishmael came along. But he had to renew his faith in it for his wife. Other than that, the curse of barrenness would be on all of us. See, if Sarah had been left without a child, suppose he had said, well, okay, you want Ishmael to, I'll let Ishmael be the one. We would have a curse of barrenness. That was what came, and many more through Ishmael, but that thing had to be broken off of our parents in the faith, so that you could have faith when doctors tell young women that they'll never be mothers because this is wrong. You can break that thing. You don't have to accept that because that curse has been broken because Sarah had a baby in old age. See, for her to laugh at God and let that be the last word would have passed it on to every generation. So God wants us to have the fullness of it. See, he's not short on any of his promises. He's not slack. He's faithful. He'll get it to you. You spend enough days understanding the faithfulness of God. Sometimes you need to put your anxiety away about what you think you're waiting on and go pick up your Bible again and start refreshing yourself in the ways that God has come through for people. See, you're going to be out of some stuff if you just stay in what's going on in the natural right now or what you think ought to be going on that's not happening yet. And so when we get to those points, we got to go back and say, okay, God, I've got to strengthen myself in some things because this is wearying me. This is not, you know, I don't know how I got in this spot, but I got to get out. So you got to get yourself out of the spot. And so in 2 Peter, I think it is, the reason you're there and the reason you don't have it yet is for a good reason. And 2 Peter tells you what that reason is. God is after more than just getting you stuff and you know, giving stuff to you. 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 3, it says, according as his divine power. Now, God has all power to do all things. And that means you're going to get your stuff. Amen. Because he has the power to do it. Is given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So the things that we get concerned about often are the things that pertain to life. What I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what I'm going to wear, when's the bill money going to come in, how can I get a raise, what can I do? But Jesus said, you don't even have to ask for that. He says, your Father knows what you have need of already. So it must be that the faith is in you for total provision of everything, but yet we sit and worry. We get concerned. We want to know when. We want to know, and you have it already. Jesus said, you don't even need to ask your Father about that. He knows what you have need of already. So what do? Go around and act like you got it. Instead of weeping and moaning and pulling your hair out, put your wig on the stand, put it back on your head, scratch your real scalp, you know, and put it back on and You know how we girls get sometimes. You understand? All right, Poppy. It's over there. You said, I thought she was over there. She ain't over there. That's just her hair. You got me? Whatever. Help me out, y'all. But you know what I'm saying. It's just, you got to give it a good scratch sometimes. Cause you can't figure this out. You know, you can act like you have it already. Huh? Come on, y'all. You can do that. You know, you can even get rid of the tension on the inside. You know that little nervous stomach we get sometimes? We can act like we ain't feeling no pain, but something's there gnawing at you, nagging you. You can even get rid of that. Amen? You can. Because you can get yourself over into the realm of faith where you can abide with your stuff. You can know your stuff. If you just want to make sure you can touch your stuff all day long, you can do it. God will let you do it. He'll let you get in faith where you can be assured of everything. You know what assurance is? It's that my husband used to do this when he's in the middle of the night, he would touch me. And I say, you know, you had your hands on me. I just want to make sure you're there. You mind, am I right, Poppy? You got to make sure the girl's still, you understand what I'm saying? Just checking your stuff. Well, God will let you check your stuff as often as you want to. You can visit in the realm of the spirit anytime you want to. Check your stuff. Just begin to worship God. Begin to thank him for it. And you'll have such a peace and such an assurance. You say, God, there I was getting fretful about this again. And I know it's there. I know you're going to be on time delivering it to me. Amen. He's on time all the time. Never slow. You know, people would say that little saying, may not come when you want him. Listen, I've learned. I want him to come when he's ready to come. I don't try to rush God anymore. You got to learn these things. You got me? You might get anxious for a minute and then you bite your lip and say, God, I'm not going to. Huh? Let me mind my business. God, I thank you. I know it's going to be on time. I thank you, Lord, you are a faithful God. I thank you, Lord, it's going to show up just at the moment it's supposed to. But God, you know what? You could get it here a day early if you want. Just between me and you, you could be a day early sometime. I won't fault you for that. In fact, I'll pray a few more if I can get it in a few, you know. But it says here, according as his divine power has given unto us, divine power is the ultimate. You're not dealing with, you know, just somebody on earth who you want to do a favor for you. This divine power has already given to us all things, everything that pertains to life and godliness. So if it's already given, that means over and above what you can ask or think. See, we say given us all things. That, well, suppose I want so-and-so. He knows you. He know you're greedy. He know you ain't got no manners. He know you want everything you see. Well, you got you covered. He loves you anyway. He got you covered. He might try to teach you some manners in the meantime. Amen. You know how to bless your food before you get the mouth. See, I'm telling on myself. I'll be sitting there and I said, wait a minute. It's in my mouth already. And God said, I, be a good girl, Barb. Oh, God. Thank you for my meal. Make it nourishing for me. Take sickness on the way down. Amen. Amen. So sometimes I'm on the phone with Pastor Shirley. She always prays before she eats. I said, I wish I could do that. How come I can't do that, God? Amen. But you know, he loves you anyway. He know I'm going to scarf on the way down, but he reminds me. Amen. You better bless it so it can do you good and not bad. Amen. So he knows us, folks, and he's already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. See, the godliness part is for that religious devil that grabs you when you say you don't have enough faith. Well, I don't know what the problem is. Maybe I don't have enough faith, or I didn't confess the word enough. Well, he's giving you everything that pertains to godliness, so that must not be part of it. You're not missing anything. The godliness part that we need to think about is living in the fruit of the Spirit, so we're not disturbed by anything. So he says, too, it's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness in verse 5. And besides that, give all diligence to add to your faith holiness, virtue, fruit of the Spirit. See, this is what's always missing for us. It's not a matter of time. It's a matter, do you have virtue? Virtue is man up, woman up. Grow up. Quit whining. And quit fretting and trying to manipulate me to do something when it's not right for you to do it right now. You got me? So that's virtue. Just an inner strength that'll come to you and say, I better straighten up here because this is not moving God. Amen. He got me. He heard me. I have it already. And I'm going to thank him for it like somebody that's got some sense. You got me? And start acting the part. That's why I say act like you got it before you got it. What do you add to virtue? Add knowledge. Get back in the Word. Nobody told you to come out the Word and start looking around and talking about how long it's been. Get back in the Word. You know you can't trust yourself going without your Bible for 5 minutes. Come on. Smith Wigglesworth had to do it. You might have to do it some too. Amen. And add to temperance. Don't clutch your pearls so often when you think, oh my, when am I going to get it? Oh my, I can't take it anymore. Yes, you can. So add to that self-control and patience. Amen. You don't have to go screaming all over everything because something you think is late. Amen. It's on time. It's on time. It's on God's time, which he don't have no time. Which means he can do it while you're sitting there screaming about it. Amen? So many times we are missing the main, you know, you're on a train, but you didn't make it to the right car. Amen? You got a ticket on, you know, in the exclusive booth, and you sitting back there in the caboose somewhere. Amen? And so God wants you to sit right where he assigned you to sit. And that's in the front seat with a full ability to see everything, to know everything, to hear everything, but yet not be moved. He's driving the train. He's driving the bus. He's in charge. So all you got to do is learn how to go along for the ride. Amen? And enjoy it. We can enjoy on the way to where we think we're going. Amen? Because he's with us. It's the main thing is to know he's with you, to enjoy him being with you, and get the ups on the devil for a change. Don't let him poke and prod you every time he gets ready. No, give your little mind a rest, you know. Don't be a little nerve in the corner the rest of your life. Allow God to give you his peace, grow you up, mature you, have the assurance. He's done it. Everything you've ever needed, he's given to you. And he's going to continue. He's not going to stop. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. And thank you for giving us understanding, great understanding of great things. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us with your holy word. There's nothing wrong with your word, Lord. It's flawless. Whenever we use your word, it will bring the result. It's what the Lord is reminding us. Stay with the Word. You're not expecting anything if you're not meditating on the Word. You got to keep yourself in the realm of where He is. He can speak to you. He can guide you. He can lead you. He can help you. He can do all of these things. But they must be committed to Him. That's what the Lord's saying. Commit your way to Him. And he will direct your steps. He will do everything you need to have done without fail. This is his show, not yours. Get off the stage. Praise God. Amen. Let him have it. Amen. He's the one who's going to get glory out of your life. You can't give it to him. He's going to get it. So allow him to be glorified in everything that you do and that we do. Amen. Praise God. If anybody needs prayer, I'll pray for ya. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I want people that are watching, touch your screen as a point of contact for the anointing. Just show God you're interested in receiving what he has for you today. Father, I thank you to bless people with the endurance that they need. You are looking for endurance runners. Father, I thank you. There's patience, there's virtue coming there. Every good fruit that they need to complete the job, complete the race, is there for them, Father. So we thank you. Be anxious for nothing. Anxiety cease, hurry cease, worry cease, fear cease. Get off of God's people. They don't belong to you. So, Lord, we bless people with every good thing that they need. In Jesus' name, amen and praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God again. Praise God. Everybody in prayer in here that needs prayer? Praise God. We'll do our declaration. I don't have Rona. She don't have me. I can't get Rona. She can't get me. And I don't have whatever else it is that you're battling, fighting. You're the winner. Because he's already given you stripes. Let your symptoms go and receive his stripes. That's what we have. Thank you, Jesus. By your stripes, we are healed. Amen. Amen again. It is so decreed. Amen.